You're listening to the Fed Talk Show on channelradio.co.uk. The Food Talk Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Sue Nelson. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
I'm fine. We've got another great program as usual, as you know.
Absolutely.
And some quite interesting different topics today. Talking about detoxification.
Wow.
Detoxification. I don't know much about it myself, so I'm really, really interested to hear about that. And we've got Geeta of Nosh Detox, who's going to tell us about that.
I love that. Nosh Detox. I love that name. What a fabulous name that is.
Because it sounds like it's stuff that you want to...
Exactly, yeah. It's mouth-watering and it's, you know, it's right up my street, Nosh Detox.
Well, if you go onto Geeta's website, I've never seen anything like it, so we've got loads and loads to talk about on that, which is really cool. Great, so I'm going to start with that. And then we've got Sian Bennett from Sian's Kitchen, and she has bought us some lovely stuff to taste, and... The first thing I can see, Paul, is some hot mustard pickle, which I know, you know, I know how much you like the hot stuff.
So, hold on. I can have hot mustard pickle on Nosh.
Yes, exactly.
I'm cooking on gas now. Yep. I'm home and dry with this.
And we're going to talk to Sian about pickling, because I'm quite interested in pickling. It's got an amazing tradition in the UK. I'm so quite interested to hear her thoughts.
I know people
on
that get pickled quite a lot.
Well, that's why they need to go over to Nosh Detox and use Geeta stuff.
Exactly. I don't get pickled. I don't get pickled.
She's got a liver thing on there, detox thing, so I'd recommend that. And in the middle of all that, we're going to talk about my favourite topic of all time, which is spaghetti bolognese. I love spaghetti bolognese.
We were kind of talking about that before we went live with the show, weren't we? And spaghetti bolognese was one of the first things I learnt to cook properly. That and chili con carne.
Well, they're more or less the same, to be honest, Paul.
They are fairly similar ingredients.
So to be honest, you've only really got one dish, haven't you? And then one you add a little bit of chili.
Yeah, it just depends on whether I put more garlic in it than chili, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it is my favourite, and that's our We Hate Heston slot today.
Right.
Shall I tell you a little bit about detoxification first? Geeta's an expert on this subject, and she has a number of sort of programs and products on her website which can help you with this process, because it's something I don't really know much about. So, for instance, she sells the Nosh 14-Day Total Home Detox Program. So you could do that, Paul, for 2 weeks. I mean, that would be great. There's obviously stuff called the Red Carpet Cleanse. I think that's for all those film premieres that you attend, Paul. You know, all those big sort of film premieres you turn up at Leicester Square.
Yep.
So you can do one of those beforehand. And detoxification is an ancient process that can be found in many cultures. Quite often a sort of religious thing, that purification and cleansing. And I think it's called Ayurveda, but I'm going to ask Sian later if I've got that right. And that's the practice of natural medicine that originated in India around 3,500 BC. And basically, it's about being more spiritual, cleaning out your colon, you know, taking time to think about yourself and your health.
Right.
And very many people say it prolongs your life, prevents disease, spurs your emotional growth.
Right.
I think it's something you should do, actually, Paul. And then and then obviously fasting is another area, but that's slightly different.
Right.
And that's not only meant to just detox your body, but also your mind and spirituality.
I could do with some of that, to be honest.
And Nosh was founded by Geeta in 2008. And so many of the guests we've had on this program have started something because of a family issue, and then felt very strongly about it. And we've heard from lots of people in that respect. And Geeta's son had multiple food allergies when he was born. And during his first 18 months of life, he spent over 240 days in hospital. And it just shows if you've got a food problem, actually can be very, very serious.
Right.
Geeta's work is a corporate lawyer. She's sitting opposite me. She looks absolutely gorgeous. She looks frighteningly corporate, as in I think she really knows what she's doing with her business. But she had to stop all that to focus on him, and started developing her own recipes and her own regime using nutritious meals. Because where else are you going to go? How else are you going to solve it? So it'll be really interesting to see you know, how that journey happened. NOSH Detox is now the UK's first ever home detoxification and weight loss delivery service. So, you know, you keep saying on this programme, I have to go to the kebab van because I've got nothing in my fridge.
Yeah.
I want Geeta to have a really strong word with you on this because she can deliver this stuff and she's delivered it for Gwyneth Paltrow and people like that. So, you know, people that are just as famous as you, Paul, were doing this. So I don't see why you shouldn't, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll talk about that, shall we? I can see you're looking a little bit worried there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play my cheesy tunage,
okay,
is what I'm going to do. And then we're going to come back and talk to Geeta, I think. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's
I'm sorry idea. About this. This is well out of left field as well. It's completely...
I hate your cheesy tunage.
Yeah, well, this is Squeeze.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I quite like Squeeze.
Squeeze box. Squeeze box. Yeah. Have a listen.
Gets no rest, 'cause she's playing all night, and the music's alright. Mama's got a squeeze box, daddy never sleeps at night. Well, the kids don't eat, and the dog can't sleep. There's no escape from the music in the whole damn street, 'cause she's playing all night.
I thought it was Squeeze, you said.
I did. I got all confused myself because I was going to play Squeeze and then I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll play Squeezebox by The Who.
Yeah. So I quite like The Who and I quite like Squeezebox, so that's quite good.
It had no relevance to Geeta, really, apart from the fact that I was looking at her website and I was looking at some of the juices and stuff she had and kind of Squeeze popped into my head, really.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Pathetic, I think. So, Geeta.
Hello.
Love the website. Love what you're doing. Can you just explain a little bit more about detoxification? It's really something I don't know much about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, first of all. The thing about detoxing is that it's your body's always trying to get you back into balance. It's always trying to make you healthy. And that's the purpose behind living organisms. They're trying to continuously live. That's their kind of imperative. But when we do things like drink and eat badly and sleep very little, what happens is that the body slows down. Detoxing is just a process of allowing, getting you out of the way of your own body's purposes. So if your body's trying to digest stuff and you give it a break and drink water or fast or drink juice, the digestion gets better because it's not having to work at new stuff. It just tries to get rid of the old stuff. Yeah. It's getting rid of the old stuff. Okay, there's a nice short way of putting
it. That's a really good way of putting it. So you've got new stuff coming in your body. Your body's working really hard because you're eating and you're drinking and whatever. And presumably if you keep those in check and you don't eat too much and you don't drink alcohol and you don't do those things, your body probably can cope. But what we're doing is we're overloading our bodies a little bit.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
Yeah.
And therefore what detox is doing is allowing your body the space and the time.
Yes.
To process and get rid of that stuff, because it will naturally, is that
what
you're saying?
Beautifully put. It will absolutely do it itself given the slightest opportunity, which is why when you've been sick sometimes, have you ever found that if you've been sick and you sleep for a week and you get out of bed and people go, but you look amazing, and you think,
really?
Because you're kind of glowing because you've actually had a week's rest.
Yes.
And your body's had the opportunity to make itself feel better. So yes, it absolutely works like that.
And I slightly worry about the fasting thing, because I'm not sure saying to people, right, we'll just stop eating like for a while, that'll do it, mate. That's not as simple as that, because I presume that could do quite a bit of damage. So how did you learn to know what to do in terms of detoxification? Because if you are selling products or services, you've got to get it spot on for people, haven't you?
Yes, you do. What we did was we actually found that my son was, I started this because my son was really ill, and ultimately all I wanted to do was to make him better, because we spent so much time in hospital, and he was in a coma and all sorts of really terrible.
It was
really in intensive care in St. Mary's. He had cardiorespiratory arrest from eating turkey that was pressed with cold milk, which basically means he died and they resuscitated him ultimately.
My goodness.
And you kind of come out of that. And my standard diet before I went into this was kind of vodka, pizza and cigarettes. I would just like to put that out there as a, you know, hands up in the air
amazing.
Type thing.
Did you look like that then?
I was a lot younger, so I probably looked a lot better. And when that happened, I was like, right, we're going to come out. It was in the late 90s. And I was like, I'm going to come out of hospital and never do this again, because there must be a better way, because nobody knew any better than I did, because we didn't have any sleep. Solutions. So what I used to find was that he plateaued. He would get a little bit better and then he'd stop. And then he'd get a bit better and he'd stop. So I've worked out by trial and error things to give him that made him better. And then, of course, people go, can you help my child? Or do you have this? And so you lived and you learned along the way. And I found out that actually there were times when if I just gave him really, really ramped up nutrients, by which I meant like blended fruits and vegetables with lots of stuff in it, like spirulina, chlorella, those kinds of things.
Sorry, but what is that? Spirulina?
Lots of green stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
So I gave him lots and lots of green stuff, and I found that he got better by leaps and bounds in those periods of rest. And I thought, gosh, that's really interesting.
Just noticeably.
Yeah, noticeably. Literally, when you put somebody on a program and don't give them food, but give them lots and lots of juice. I mean, it's very filling. It's really, really, it's blended fruit and vegetables, and it does make them feel an enormous amount better. But people do get very emotionally uptight about stuff like that, because, you know, people like fizzy drinks and people like having lots of different things that they want to drink and eat. And when you say don't do, I mean, there's some really great YouTube videos of me being yelled at by people on air, but when I say, you know, give up bread, and they're like, you can't make people do that. You do want to get to a stage where you eat more healthily, and then from eating healthily you would then go on a juice fast, so you wouldn't take somebody massively overweight and go, here, just
too much
eating.
Of a shock to their
little
system.
little bit.
I mean, I love the fact that we're talking about fruit and vegetables and whatever, and as usual Paul is here drinking a whole can of Diet Coke, which I would guess is probably his 5 or 6 of today.
I'm not allowed to do that, really, am I?
I was a bit politer about it. I just made an oblique reference to it.
So jam-packed full, particularly the leafy green thing in your book. And so how did you then make that leap to develop these products that
I'd love to say it was really clever, but what happened was that I was sitting there complaining because I'd become a single parent with 3 very, very small children. The youngest was 3 months old and a sick child as well. And one of my girlfriends my best friend, in fact, came around to visit me, and I was complaining about being poor. And she said, could you shut up about being poor? My stomach's huge. I can't see my feet. I've had 2 children in 1 year and my need is greater than yours. And I was like, oh, don't be ridiculous. Just do this and you lose all that weight. And she went, because I want to talk about being poor and wine. And so she went away with my list, rang me up 4 weeks later and went, oh my God, people would give you money for this. And I was like, oh, they would? And I was trying to stop being a lawyer so I could stay at home with the children, because every time I left home, I literally worried if I had somebody would be dead by the time I came back, because that's literally how we lived. And I didn't want to leave the children, and I needed to find another way to make a living and pay my bills. And so I was like, oh, okay, because this I know how to do. I've done it for, you know, decades.
So long,
yeah. So that's how I started. And then I started with the mothers at the school gate. You know, I mean, at that stage, I didn't know what marketing was, and people would say, I do marketing, and I'd be like, what does that mean?
What is it? Yes.
Yeah, what is it? And why do I need a PR machine? And why do I need... I had no idea. I was a lawyer, so I couldn't add up either. So it's part of the skill set of being a lawyer.
Hold on a minute. I've used lawyers. They're pretty good with their bills.
I was going to say, my lawyer's really good with his bills. So.
Clearly, I was really not a great lawyer at that stage. Good thing I moved to profession, really. And so it went from there, and I did... I had 5 mothers, then 10, then 15, then I got their husbands as well. And we had... I mean, I recently went through our original accounts, and it was quite funny. So I kept working as a lawyer to see if I could make enough money out of this to make a living. Mm. And then I thought I just could. So I took a deep breath, resigned, and on the 6th of January 2008, opened Nosh and started working in it full time.
That's a huge step, isn't it?
And it really was.
we talk to a lot of food producers and all sorts of people in the food industry, and it's that day when you do that. It's a very brave thing to do.
The only reason I did it is because the reward was greater than the hurt, and I knew that I didn't want to leave the children alone, and I used to travel 3 times a week or something ridiculous. I was in Tanzania for a day, Moscow for a day, and all kinds of really stupid things. I wanted to be at home, but I still needed to pay bills. And so what I did was try to find a way to do both. And the thing is, when you've got no choice, you do get very inventive.
Yeah,
you do massively. Yeah. And then we were doing that. And then one day, this woman rang up with a really strong American accent and said, Gwyneth Paltrow recommended you. And I was like, you know, my heart stopped, literally couldn't stop breathing. And I couldn't breathe again. And I said, do you mind very much if I could just record that? And I'll give you everything free, and I'll close down the whole website, and I'll just have written across it at the top, Gwyneth Paltrow recommended you, and nothing else. And so then Vogue picked that up. We didn't know she was a client of ours because they always book in under pseudonyms.
Different name, yeah.
And so then Vogue picked us up. That was in 2 years after we opened. And then Rachel Stevens from S Club 7, who's a lovely, lovely woman, rang up. And then Mel B rang up. And then and we were so poor that we charged everybody. We never gave anything to anyone because, I mean, this is how we ate.
Oh,
we
I like
paid
that.
My bills.
I like that. Yeah,
yeah, we never gave anything free. We just didn't. And I'd say, yeah, I'm Indian. Yeah. But we just didn't give anything free.
And a lawyer.
So we tried to forget that at that time because we were being more healthy and like cool. So what we did was we charged everyone, and it was the best thing we could do because it meant that all the celebrities had to pay for us to deliver to them.
Yeah. I mean, I find that I go to all these sort of food stuff, and we have people here as guests, and then they say, you can have this, you can have that, you can have the other. Don't. It's a business. Only give stuff away if it's a buyer or something, and it's really, really important. But, you know, in general, everything you make, you need to sell.
You really do, because it shows that you respect what you're doing and yourself, and you have a sense of value for it. Yeah. For us, we were lucky because I had zero choice. I mean, I had a £2,000 overdraft. I couldn't get arrested to get any more money. I had no other money. That's what I had. And that's what I had to build up the business. And so we were very focused. So I learned how to sell. I learned how to market. I learned how to do... So we get enormous amounts of publicity these days. Mm. It is still about 60% self-generated because we've just gotten so good at it.
That's really good. So in a modern diet, for you, what are the main culprits? So if somebody's listening to this program and they're thinking, I really do need to lead a slightly more modern life, you know, what are the small changes you could make? Because there are definitely things
and
that
it's
you
such,
should avoid.
Yeah, but Sue, that's such a good question. Because when you ask people to give stuff up, it's awful. Like, yes. I've never put on so much weight as every time I go on a diet. I really, really, it just upsets me. But I don't diet anymore because it's really bad for you. There's something about your brain that thinks that I'm giving stuff up.
I like her. I really like her.
So what we do is a thing called crowding out. We say, put this good stuff in and then eat whatever else you want. Because that gets you into the train of... Because changing your lifestyle is very much a brain and body thing.
Okay.
And that fills you up, the good stuff fills
you
up.
So what you do, there are just about two, three things that you just have to do that makes life a lot better. And I absolutely promise you that clients pay me a huge amount of money and this really, really works. It sounds too simple, but it really, really works. So the first thing is don't give anything up. The second thing is eat a piece of fruit before every single meal. And I don't mean like going off and getting the chopped ready-made stuff. I mean something that's with nutrients, that is a piece of fruit that's ripe. Have one piece before every single meal. Then have a green salad after you've eaten that piece of fruit, which is about the size of your hand, and it's got olive oil, lemon and salt on it. And then you can eat anything that you want after that. And I want you to do that for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, you will be a different person. You will eat differently. You will drink differently because the enzymes in your mouth absolutely change.
I need to do that, Paul.
I'm now totally in love with her.
I love you too, darling.
I want to marry her.
But she's gorgeous looking, so I can see that.
So I want to... I'm a bear of very little brain, being a bloke, so I want to kind of understand what's going on here. So a piece of fruit, something like an apple or...
Yeah, but I change. So every single... Nature's very clever.
Yeah.
So every single fruit and vegetable that is a different color has different micronutrients in right. it. Okay. So what you do is change the colors up. So today it's all yellow fruit. Tomorrow it's red fruit. The next day it's green fruit. The next day it's pink fruit.
Okay.
So change that up.
Okay.
So a piece of fruit before every meal.
Yep.
A salad, yep. green salad after that.
And when you say Gita before every meal...
Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, but I'm trying to work out how far before her meal I eat this.
About 10 minutes.
Right, okay.
You can eat it whenever you like, but you don't eat it with anything because fruit is a completely different consistency and the body takes about 10 minutes to break fruit down and carry on. The thing it does for you, though, is it will literally make things like Coke and stuff taste different. Yeah. They won't taste quite as appealing. It changes the quality of your skin. It helps with wrinkles. It helps with absolutely the alkalizing of your body. So any piece of fruit, honestly, it sounds so simple, but it is the most effective technique in the world.
Okay. And is there an element of kind of filling yourself up here as well?
That's the sneaky part of it.
Yeah. So basically,
that's why I say anything you want afterwards.
Right.
Because what happens is that the enzymes start working. You know how when you think of something really delicious and you start watering, your mouth starts watering.
I'm dribbling now. Yeah.
That's from the diet cut. The thing about that is that what that does for you is that when you eat a juicy, amazing piece of fruit, you rehydrate, you get a lot of fiber into your system, and you fill yourself up a little bit.
Okay.
It also takes away that brain thing of, oh my God, I'm absolutely starving.
Yeah.
Right. Then when you go into the green leaves, it starts using your jaws, so this the science behind, your jaws start to chew and that releases a certain amount of good stuff going on. It connects your brain and your body, and it takes 20 minutes for your brain to work out your body's full. So you've already started that process with the fruit, so you get full quicker.
Right.
So it's just amazing. It is literally the most phenomenal thing.
So let me step through this soon.
You're so into this, Paul. I'm not going to get a word in edgeways.
But this is important to me because I'm a yo-yo dieter. I know how to lose weight and I know how to put it on, and I do both, okay? And it's so bad that I've got a dressing room in my house and I have 5 different sizes of clothes and I wear them all in the same year. So I go from one to the other. So I'm quite good at starving myself and I'm quite good at eating. But what I can do now is I can have an apple or a banana or, you know, depending on what colour day it is, and a green salad and then a kebab.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
I am saying absolutely that. I mean, if I want to eat cake, I will absolutely eat cake.
Right.
I look very healthy and I don't look fat or anything like that, but I will do what I want to do within the remits of my health because I've got 80-90% of it nailed.
Okay.
So 80-90% of it, when you do the right stuff, the rest of it, you know, I mean, tonight we're going out.
Right.
And that's going to include all sorts of really lovely dangerous stuff, which I'm
going to
enjoy.
Oh, she's taunting me now. She's really taunting me now.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But fruit has got quite a bad press recently. You know,
no fruit juice.
Sugar. Oh,
fruit juice.
Okay.
So there's 2 separate things here. Yeah. Fruit juice has a very, very, very bad press, and it should, because what it is it's pasteurized, coloured water with sugar in it. Ultimately, when you boil anything, there's nothing left in it, because literally, think about it. Nothing grows at the bottom of a volcano because immense heat destroys everything around it.
Yeah.
So when you drink that, that's what you're drinking. Also, if you look at Innocent, Naked, all of the pasteurized juices, their shelf lives go from 9 months to 18 months. You're drinking something that sat on a shelf.
Mm.
So what we did was in 2012, we brought in cold pressed juices where we went and they put them through a very cold process, which gave them a 10-15 day shelf life. So they will go bad. But you know what? Fresh stuff should go bad. If it sits and looks the same for the next 3 years, that's really bad for you.
Mm.
And imagine what it's doing to your insides.
Absolutely.
Now that, the thing with that is that the fiber within the fruit there stays in it. And when you mix fiber with sucrose and fructose and glucose, it takes a few hours to actually break down in your body. So it takes a much, much longer time. Your sugar doesn't spike and trough.
I think when Sunny Delight came out, do you remember that awful orange?
Have you ever
thing?
Put it in something and watched it colour the plastic yellow?
I actually think that can stay on the shelf for 15 years. It was that bad.
It should stay there.
Isn't Sunny Delight banned now?
I think it is. I've taken it off the shelf.
It's banned in the UK.
Good.
Did it turn over?
The colourants.
Because my youngest son, he's working in Beverly Hills at the moment, and he texted me and he went, ha-ha, they got Sunny Delight. And I went, don't be ridiculous. And he went, yeah, I bought a gallon of it. And for goodness sake.
It's so, so bad for you.
Yeah.
And you know what you do is that, well, again, it takes you back to the enzymes.
Mm.
It trains you that really sweet things are really, really good for you.
Mm.
The last thing is also don't ever drink anything diet. any diet product is massively bad for you.
I totally agree with you. Put that away, Paul.
Everyone's pointing at me.
Now, Geeta has speaking arrangements this afternoon, because she's so in demand, with and we're getting all this for free, all this amazing advice.
Absolutely.
Your website is noshdetox.com.
It is, yes.
Spelt exactly as it sounds. Very interesting. I recommend anybody to go on the website. There's some really interesting stuff on there, and some interesting sort of news articles and amazing whole range of products. They're huge. So anything else? Have you got Twitter handle or anything like that?
Yes, it's at Nosh Detox, and Facebook is also Nosh Detox. Everything is just Nosh Detox.
So if you want to be a celebrity, you know, like all those people who are using Geeta's products, then you need to trot along to noshdetox.com.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's
simple.
Really good for you to fit us in, because I know you're so busy. So
no, it was such a pleasure.
Indeed, thank you.
Absolutely. So should we go and discuss We Hate Heston?
Yeah, I think so. And We Hate Heston, of course, is about having simple homemade food from scratch that anybody can cook at home, as opposed to all that complicated stuff they have on the telly.
Well, let's listen to your dish for life.
Spag bol. Today I'm going to cook spaghetti bolognese. This is my absolute, I would say, my favourite all-time dish. This would be my last supper. I find it comforting, it brings back memories of childhood, it has everything that I love. That is to say, loads and loads of carbohydrates in terms of spaghetti, and a delicious tomato-y, meaty sauce to go with it. Grated Parmesan on the top, chopped basil on the top. I just think it's the best meal with a glass of Italian red wine. When I was a child growing up in the late 1960s in the middle of London, my dad used to take me on a Saturday to his Saturday job, which he used to earn some extra money. And this was in a garage, and we just used to tinker around, and I used to make teas and coffees for the mechanics there. But my favourite bit was at lunchtime. We used to go to an Italian cafe, Italian immigrants who'd come over, first generation, set up a cafe right in the middle of London. And they used to do pasta, which was unheard of in my life in sort of 1960s. And that's where I got my love of spaghetti bolognese. And this is my recipe. I'm sure it's not classic Italian, but this is what I like. The first thing is to get a frying pan and to put a little knob of butter in, tiny bit of oil, so half and half, and start frying some onions. I put half an onion in for two people. Once they're cooked, I then add the mince. The mince is really important. Don't buy the extra lean mince, which has literally got no fat in it, because it tastes like cardboard. You need mince with a bit of fat in it to make it juicy. Try and get mince from your local farmer's market if you can, or some reliable source, so that when you're cooking it, all you get is really lovely meat juices. Poor quality mince, you'll see a lot of water come out of it, and actually it's grey as opposed to red. So if you can get yourself some good mince, that's great. I'm just about to put some mince in the pan along with my onions. I'm putting in a little bit of chopped garlic, and then you need to cook the mince for at least an hour. Spaghetti bolognese or bolognese sauce is not a quick dish. So I think you can hear my mince bubbling away there. The thing is to make sure that the mince gets browned, so it's slightly brown. And then I add a whole tin of chopped tomatoes. You can, of course, do your own. So you could peel the tomatoes, chop them up, and make your own sort of tomato-y type sauce. But actually, I'm quite happy using the tin tomatoes. Other variations, sometimes I add a little bit of chopped smoky bacon, if you like that nice sort of smoky taste. And that's quite nice going with the mince. You could add some mushrooms if you really like mushrooms. If you want to try and get your kids to eat more vegetables and you're serving them up spaghetti bolognese, a tin of lentils, if you drain them off and put a tin of lentils into your bolognese sauce, the kids won't even notice it. It's a really good way of getting some nutrition, extra nutrition, into your sauce for the kids. So I like mine quite tomato-y. Sometimes I'll add a little bit of extra passata or tomato puree to make it really, really tomato-y. Add loads and loads of black pepper, and I have a whole handful of chopped basil, which goes in as well. And I'm just stirring that all in. Here we go. And that's beginning to look really nice. Now, turn it down low. I prefer to put it in the cooker and cook that for at least an hour. If it gets a little bit dry, just add a little bit of water and just keep stirring it occasionally. Keep an eye on it. You could put it in the oven, but actually I like to watch it and make sure that it doesn't get too dried out. Say at least an hour. You could do it for an hour and a half. It'll only get better, but just keep an eye on it so that it doesn't dry out. So I've come back after an hour or so, and it's looking gorgeous. It smells fantastic. I love it nice and tomato-y. And now I'm 10 minutes away, so I'm going to put the spaghetti on. I prefer brown spaghetti, better for you, and actually it's got a little bit more bite. So cook your spaghetti in very, very, very hot, boiling water, loads and loads of salt in the water, and make sure that bubbles away for 10 minutes. I'm just going to do that now. I've drained my spaghetti, just putting a lovely big heap of sauce on the top. I've chopped up a little bit of basil, put some more basil on the top, and of course you can grate some Parmesan cheese. Here it is, here's my big plate full, I can't wait, and I'm going to pour myself a really, really good glass of Italian red wine to go with it. What could make a better meal?
Cool. Spag bol, eh?
It's absolutely my favourite, Paul. I can't tell you just how much it means to me.
It's comfort food, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, I do fish pie and I do sausage and mash, but nothing beats spaghetti bolognese. It's got some... It's the smell as well. I love that tomato-y smell.
And the parmesan-y smell on the top.
Yeah, that giving.
I do go a bit mad with the parmesan as well.
That salt hit. It gives it a salt hit. And I love basil as well. Tear up some basil. Great.
No, I only eat it on my own. I don't invite anyone else.
Don't you? No.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
So, yes, that's our I Hate Heston this week. Mm. Should we talk to Sian of Sian's Kitchen? She's brought along very kindly some lovely things for us to taste as well.
I think we should talk to Sian because we ought to talk to somebody sensible around here, and she looks sensible to me, and she's got some very nice things to sample, and I'm quite keen on sampling some of her delights.
No, well, luckily Geeta's gone, so we won't ask whether it's part of the detox program or not. We'll just go for it, shall we?
Yeah. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pretend that 20 minutes ago I ate a piece of fruit and a green salad, and now I'm fine, and I can attack your preserves with relish. Do you get that?
Terrible. Sorry. Sian Bennett runs Sian's Kitchen from her home in Swanley, Kent, and she manages an allotment as well. So all the supplies come from that, which is you can't get better than that.
Hold on a second. You're growing your own stuff. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, as much as I possibly can, yeah.
Blimey.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
She makes pickles and preserves. So it's her own homegrown seasonal organic produce.
Right.
And they're entirely handmade in small batches. So it's almost like you've done it yourself, but you really know what you're doing. The range includes jams, jellies and chutneys. And she only uses vinegar or sugar as preservatives. She's also an agar enthusiast. I know you want to ask her a little bit about
I like agars. I am a bit of an agar fan. I used to have an agar.
Hmm.
Mm. Sorry to interrupt. I just need to tell you my agar story. When my eldest son was at little school, I took him to school one day, and one of the mums said to me, "You've got an agar." I went, "How do you know that?" She said, "Because your son's got an agar jumper." And I said, "What's an agar jumper?" And she said, "Turn him round." I turned him round, and it was all scorched at the back where I dried the washing in front of the agar.
Oh, dear. She runs agar cookery demonstrations. So if anybody's got an agar, they want to go and have a look, because it's a slightly different way of cooking. Products we've got here, hot mustard pickle, which I'm really quite interested to taste.
That sounds like it's up my street.
As you probably know, Paul, that actually in the UK we've got a very long tradition of pickling and preserving. And for anyone that's got an allotment, and I never appreciated this till I got an allotment, that you have courgettes and then suddenly you'll get 15 courgettes in 2 weeks and then you won't get anything for months and months and months. So you that sort of glut thing, what do you do with it? How do you cope with it? And you don't really realise that until you start growing your own stuff and trying to work out when, you know, when things are ready and when they're not. And obviously pickling is that process of preserving or expanding the lifespan of food, normally by putting stuff in brine or vinegar.
Yeah.
And if you put in antimicrobial microbial herbs. I can't actually say that word.
Really?
And spices. That's the stuff that kills those microorganisms. So things like mustard seeds, garlic, cinnamon, cloves, they're often added because actually that purifies things. So unlike the canning process, pickling, you know, does the fermentation. It doesn't require the food to be completely sterile before it's sealed, because it naturally does all that stuff. So what first pickle did you ever make, Sian? What was your first?
First one I ever made was actually something called gluttony chutney.
Gluttony chutney. I love the sound of that.
It is literally a recipe that uses a glut of anything that you've got, as you were talking about. So the recipe can change slightly depending on what you've got the most
of. Is it a bit
of.
Like chop suey? Which actually just means whatever you got left, you chuck in.
It does to a certain extent. Okay. Yes. As long as your sort of fruit or vegetable ratio to your vinegar and sugar ratio is fine.
Okay.
You can throw anything you like at it.
Right.
So what's the basic stuff then, apart from the veg? What's your little sort of ingredients that you would recommend?
I do use a lot of courgettes because I've got an allotment, yeah. And because I grow a lot of courgettes, as you say, sort of.
I love them.
And it's really good as well because with chutneys, with courgettes, you turn around and they're suddenly marrows.
Yes.
And marrows are equally as good for making chutneys and pickles as the courgettes are. Obviously, you get a slightly different texture with it, but yeah, it's a good thing to be using up.
So you've got your vegetable, but what's the other ingredients that you need to make a really nice pickle?
I tend to use darker sugars rather than your basic white granulated sugar. The darker sugars are nicer because you get the richness comes through in the flavours, because you get that caramelised taste.
Right, okay.
The darker sugars with the molasses in them. I don't use sugars with pectin in or anything added. I just literally, when I'm doing chutneys, it is just literally vinegar and sugars that are used to help preserve things, basically, and just the cooking
and
process.
Do you use a little bit of salt? I mean, salt and sugar are renowned, aren't they? And vinegar, renowned for preserving.
Usually, depending on what I'm making. I mean, the chutneys tend to be a little bit of salt in with it. I only ever use... I try to use sort of as much as possible local products in as much as I can. So, for instance, I use like Maldon sea salt. And you need to use not a table salt, because they have anti-caking agents in them, which...
Stop them from clogging up.
Yeah, just it's not a pleasant thing to put in a chutney.
Absolutely.
No.
So...
Try and keep it as pure and clean as
absolutely.
Possible.
Absolutely. So I use Maldon sea salt. In a chutney, you just have a small amount of that. With something like the hot mustard pickle, you're salting the vegetables before you actually make that pickle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it would be the same with things like pickled onions, again.
Right.
And I use a mixture of Maldon sea salt and a Herb de Provence salt. Because I like the flavour that it adds into the vegetables. So
I've just had an idea. Do you do a fruit-based chutney, preserve or pickle?
I do...
I can see where your brain's going on this.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
It's transparent.
Sorry. I just thought, you know...
You could have that before.
Exactly.
Yes.
Have some fruit-based preserve.
What he wants to do is eat half a jar of jam.
Yeah, yeah.
As his interpretation of Gita's, slimming.
Interpretation of your fruit, yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think that would quite work. Should we have a try of this? So Sean's very kindly brought in this hot mustard pickle. Ingredients, we've got cauliflower in there, courgettes, fine beans, red onions, and then she's got these vinegars and stuff, and mustard powder, turmeric, chilli, ginger.
A couple of things while you're...
I'm just going to open that now.
Yeah, go. Oh, poof.
That's nice.
couple of things. I love the little mop cap on the jar, which looks lovely. Is it a... feel free to punch me. With this, is it a kind of piccalilli based kind of thing?
It is a piccalilli. It's actually, I will freely hold my hands up, I don't make my own recipes. I might tweak things a bit, but I don't actually make my own recipes, because I feel that
I like that. I've got a really nice mustard hit at the end.
Oh, that is nice.
See, what happens is,
do
Sean,
carry on,
is that he takes all of the stuff home that we try, and I never get a chance.
Oh.
It's really nice, isn't it, Paul? And the vegetables for me are really crunchy.
Yes.
When you buy shop-bought stuff sometimes, they're quite watery.
It's wet, isn't it? It's wet with shop-bought stuff. Mm. That has got substance to it.
It is actually quite a quick cook, and it's purposely a quick cook. You have to salt the vegetables and everything overnight. So although it's about a 10 to 15 minute cook as such, it is a sort of 24 hour process to physically make a batch.
I would quite happily eat that as a type of piccalilli, you know. So the kind of thing where you have a piece of pork pie or a scotch egg or something, where you would normally eat that with piccalilli.
Cheese as well, that would go great with cheese.
Absolutely.
Do you know, it's fantastic in a doorstep sandwich with cheddar.
Yeah, absolutely. I can well imagine. And
I could actually eat that jar just on its own.
I could eat it on its own. I totally agree. It's got, sometimes we bought piccalilli or other kind of mustard-based sauces that you can buy, it's a little bit overpowering, and as Sue says, the ingredients could be a bit mushy. That's got crisp
crunchy,
substance.
Crunchy,
it's crunchy. It's a meal in itself, almost, and the mustard sauce tastes mustardy, but it's not
got a lovely,
overpowering. Do you know what I mean?
It's not mustard, slightly chilly. Do you remember that lovely man who came in with his raspberry vinegar? And I was just necking raspberry vinegar.
she just drank it.
I feel like that. I'm just going to just eat that.
I'm just going to eat that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's lovely. So we've now got other things here. So we've got chutneys. What chutney do we have there, Sean?
That is actually gluttony chutney. That one.
Glutton chutney. See, that's my
glutton
kind of chutney. That's calling to me. That is calling to me.
And what have we got in this particular one? I presume, is it from your allotment or local
stuff?
It
is, yes. That one's mainly tomato-based. It does have courgettes in it.
But this is the one that I've christened chop suey chutney. Yeah,
chop suey chutney. So I'm going to open that one as well. Oh, my goodness, that's hard. It's very dark, this one. Has it got, it looks... Again, it's got courgettes, tomatoes, red onions, apples.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Oh, it's got fruit. That's fine. I'm home and dry.
It's got
mixed
fruits.
You've got mixed fruit and peels.
Yes.
A bit of peel. And you've got a little bit of dried chilli flakes and ginger again.
Like it.
Yeah, so it's not as spicy as the hot mustard pickle.
Yeah, because it's chutney, it's slightly more fluid.
Yes.
Whereas the pickle is... what would you call it? It's quite solid.
It is. It's quite a, you know, it's meant to be the chunky vegetables.
God, I just knocked my jam
down. Mama's studio.
Sorry about that. Oh, wow. Now, when I have chutneys, I find that chutneys are a bit sour.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sour as such. It's
That's got kick. That has kick.
Yeah, but it's a tart in a really nice way. Where sometimes, you know, lime pickle, I find, is just sour. And I don't like it very much at all. And again, you've got lovely fruit in there.
Mm.
So tell us about your setup at home. You are literally making stuff in your kitchen, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you've got, I believe you have four children. So how does that all work?
It's chaotic? Busy. Yes.
Yeah. I hope you make them help you. I hope there's slave labour involved here.
No, no, there isn't. No, they've all got very busy stuff going on themselves.
Right.
Yes, I have four children, three of which are my stepsons and one of my own. And we have a dog, cat, chickens. They're obviously not all in the kitchen with me at the same time. But it's a busy life. We also run a gardening business as well. So, it's quite full on at times.
Absolutely. So we quite often talk to artisan and local producers of food. And when we come around to the business issues involved here, this is always a difficult thing, isn't it? Is taking homemade, home-cooked, kitchen table products and making that business work as you grow.
Yes.
You know, and that's always the hard thing for everybody, is to move it off the kitchen table into a factory kind of processing thing.
Yeah. I've been doing this for about 3 years now, sort of properly from home.
Right.
I was made redundant from Arga about 3 years ago.
Oh, you used to work for Arga?
I used to work for Arga.
Hence why you know so much about Argas.
I worked for Arga for about 8 years.
Will you tell them they owe me some school jumpers? No, good.
Yeah, I worked for them for about 8 years as a cookery demonstrator and sales advisor for them.
Oh, right, okay.
And always had the allotment in the background, always made jams and chutneys for friends and family.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem.
Do you still have an Aga?
I do, yes.
Do you make this stuff on an Aga?
I do.
Wow.
I actually bought my Aga with my redundancy package.
Now, that's dedication for you,
yeah,
isn't it? They couldn't even throw you in a free Aga.
No, but blimey. I thought I might as well get in while I still have my staff discount.
Exactly, so, yeah.
Very, very
before I left. Mm. And I thought, well, if I purchase the Aga, I have basically got a ready-made business there. Yeah. I was already selling jams and chutneys to sort of friends and family,
right.
and it was growing, sort of quite fast, basically.
Sure.
I had Aga customers saying, well, are you going to carry on doing this when the showroom closes? And I was like, well, yes, but at the moment I literally have no kitchen and a standpipe and a bucket and a cooker. That's it. I've got nothing else at all. I can't do cookery demonstrations and things at home until we're all set up.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got sorted, it's just literally grown from there.
Right.
I do everything at home myself.
I've never had Aga. Sian, so what exactly is the difference between a normal, let's say, a cooker that's an electric oven at the bottom and a gas hob at the top? What exactly is the difference?
Basically, with an Aga, the traditional Aga, there's lots of different ones now, but the traditional Aga is a heat storage appliance.
Mm.
It has a central fuel source that heats the whole cast iron appliance, and then each oven is set thermostatically for you, and you quite simply pick the oven that's got the temperature range that suits what you're cooking.
And does it keep heated all the time then?
Yeah.
The original ones did, yes. Mm. But nowadays you've got something called AIMS, which is an Aga Intelligent Management System, which is a real mouthful. But that allows you to program it.
Yeah.
So you can program it like a central heating system, basically, and you can tell it when you want it on at full power and when you don't, which is what I've got.
I had a Stone Age Aga. It was originally found in the Neolithic period. And I had a big four-oven Aga.
Lovely.
Yeah, a big, typical old farmhouse Aga. And that particular one was oil-heated.
Yes.
So it used burning oil. That was on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You had four ovens with various grades of heat. So the coolest oven, you could put something in there. It's a bit like slow cooking.
Yes.
You put something in there, you go to work, you come home 9 hours later, and it was just about ready.
So you'd have it on something like 100 degrees or something really low?
Yeah, your simmering oven on an Aga runs at around about 120 degrees. It's around about that. So basically the idea is you bring something up to temperature on one of the hot plates on top.
Yeah.
Get it up and nice and bubbling, stick a lid on it, pop it in the simmering oven, go away and do other things.
It is a
slightly different way of cooking because, of course, your oven is already up to temperature.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of people in a conventional oven, you make something, you stick it in the oven and turn it on.
Yeah.
And it would take 5 minutes to get up to the operating temperature. But with an Aga, it's already there. So what I found, and I think a lot of people find when they first come across an Aga, is they either burn stuff really quickly,
yes,
or they don't cook it properly. Yeah.
Yes.
And so you invite people into your home and actually teach them how
to
use an Aga.
Yeah. So I can do cookery courses at home, literally in my kitchen. People could come along and I can either tailor it to suit them or I do a basic demonstration which will run through everything from doing a cooked breakfast to a nice roast dinner, bit of steak, stir fry. And it runs through all the sort of tips and tricks of using an Aga because it is a different way of cooking. It's not complicated. It's just different to
just
a normal
learning,
cooker.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've got a pizza oven in our garden, which is completely the opposite. So that's like burning fire. Really, really. Yeah, it goes up to 350, 450 degrees centigrade. And that's a completely different way of cooking.
Yes.
And what I've learned with that is you don't have a cookbook in terms of timing.
No.
Because you have to look. You have to use your eyes to work out whether something's cooked or not. I mean, you can't shove your hand in it, clearly, and stuff like that.
No.
But, you know, and that's really changed the way I've cooked because actually I'm using my sight much more than just reading off a recipe.
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt you, ladies, but I can spot over barrier two unopened jars there, and I'm not happy with that.
We were too busy talking about Argus. You're also very, very, very good at jams. and I know that your jams is what do you call them, high fruit jam?
They are. They're known as extra jams because of the fruit content in them. Because I do literally only... Basic jam recipe should just be your fruit and sugar. It shouldn't be anything else. You know, there shouldn't be anything else involved in it at all, really, other than, you know, if you want to put other things in for flavouring. So
we've got two here, Paul. One loganberry. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your loganberries from, John?
I grow them.
Wow.
Blimey, she's an overachiever,
so clever,
she is.
I know. I don't know if she's best not sleep, I'm thinking. So we've got loganberry jam, and literally, as you say, it's just got loganberries and sugar and nothing else.
Nothing else, no.
And again, you're following the Paul's thing about chop suey. You've got high dumpsy deary jam, and that's got apples, pears, strawberries, lemon juice, ginger, all the stuff that's probably a little bit of a glut.
Ah, right. Yes. So all I need now is a jar of that, and I can have a spoonful of that before each meal. So that I satisfy Gita's thing, and I don't have to change it either because it's got one of everything in.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Again, with the high dumpsy deary recipe, that does change depending on what I've got. With that one, as long as you've got 6 pounds of fruit altogether, it can be 6 pounds of anything. And then you add in your ginger and your lemon for extra flavouring. So...
I've just had the first one. Look at his little face. I've just had his eyes grinning like a Cheshire cat.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I don't want to go anywhere else.
No. He's had his hot mustard pickle, which he likes, and now he's got some
and
sugar.
Jam. there's nothing more to be said. This is, you know, where it's at.
I'm just eating this loganberry. This is really, really good, Paul.
Before I try the last one, I just want to ask you, because I love it, High Dumpsy Deary Jam. Where are these names coming from?
High Dumpsy Deary, I'm led to believe, is an old-fashioned Worcestershire recipe. It's meant to have come from the Worcestershire farmers' wives. And it was a jam that they invented to use up bits of fruit, oddments of fruit, which is why you can use anything you like in it.
I just love the name, Sarge. High Dumpsy Deary Jam. It's just lovely, isn't it? It trips off the tongue. What are you eating? High Dumpsy Deary Jam. What are you eating?
Yeah, what did you think? Obviously, I'm eating that. Have you tasted the loganberry?
I have. And I wasn't going to say anything because I was just going to put the jar in my bag.
The thing with that jam is, if you're cooking fruit properly, it shouldn't be too sweet.
No,
and it's got the sweetness, the sugar, but it's slightly making my cheeks tingle, which means it's got that slight sort of tartness, which is lovely.
Loganberry is it's a lovely fruit. It's crossed between blackberry and raspberry, so it's a hybrid berry.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sian, but I'm interested in that because I've never really understood what a loganberry was. Is it a natural fruit or is it something that's been cultivated, do you know?
It's, as far as I know, it's something that's cultivated because you've got two blackberry-raspberry crosses, which is one is a loganberry and one is a tayberry. Loganberries and tayberries, obviously, you can make jam with both of them. Mm. Tayberries you can eat fresh.
Right.
You can eat loganberries fresh, but they're a bit tartar.
Oh, okay.
But they make fantastic jam. You get that with the loganberry jam, you get that perfume flavour with it.
Right,
There's no other way to describe it. It's not raspberry.
It makes great jam.
It does make fantastic jam.
It's got really good
jam.
Texture. And blackberries are lovely, obviously.
Yes.
But it's nicer than that somehow. It's nicer than that.
I have to admit, when we got our current allotment, loganberry was the first thing that I went out and bought to put in it because I just thought it makes the most amazing jam. I've got to have that on the plot. So,
And can you tell me a little bit about the term jam? So it's fruit that's heated with water and sugar, and then that activates its pectin. What is pectin?
Pectin is present in all fruits in differing levels. It depends on the fruit, on the ripeness of the fruit. How fresh it is as to the pectin level in it. You can buy sugars that are known as jam sugars with extra pectin in them. I don't use those purely because I think it gives it a bit of a tang, an artificial tang to it that I don't like. if you use lemon juice, that's very high in pectin. So if you've got a fruit, for instance, like strawberries, which are quite low in pectin, it can be quite difficult to get it to set.
I see.
So you add lemon juice to help it set, basically.
Okay.
The term jam, I think, came from, apparently, from France, from j'aime, as in we love it, basically.
I'm liking that.
I don't know that for definite, but that's what I've been led to believe.
Do you know what, Sean? I like that definition so much, we'll make it happen anyway. It doesn't need to be true, does it?
We don't care about that. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. So you've got a website.
I have.
Your name, Sian, is spelt S-I-A-N.
It is. It's
so
Welsh.
Sian is S-I-A-N-I-E-S. Mm-hmm. Sian is kitchen. .co.uk.
Yep.
And how can people get hold of your stuff? I have to say, I would say the hot mustard pickle and the Loganberry jam, particularly my recommendation. I don't know what your favourite was, Paul. Is anything spicy for you?
I couldn't pick.
They're nice, aren't
they? I couldn't pick. So what I would do is I would have all four as a balanced meal, to be honest.
I do gift packs.
So sorry, I was asking how do we get hold of your stuff?
Right. So you can contact me via the website or via Facebook. Say I'm on there just as Sian Bennett.
Yes.
And you can contact me via there, and I've always posting things on there as to what I'm up to.
And how do you currently sell the stuff that you produce?
I sell mainly at fairs and fetes. I do quite a lot locally to us.
Do you do the farmers markets and stuff?
I don't do farmers markets, no. Okay. I did look into it initially, and I have to say, because of
my
situation...
You've got so many other businesses, yeah. It's every week, isn't it, without fail?
It is, yeah. And some things, it sounds a really bad thing to say, but some of the farmers markets or WI markets and things, they're actually quite pricey to go along to.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I was looking at food fairs and things, and they're just way beyond what I can actually afford to do
sure,
at the minute.
Sure, sure,
the profit margin on what I make...
Yeah.
Is not massive.
Yeah.
So if somebody's charging you £85, £100 for a stall,
that's a lot of jam.
You've got to sell a lot of jam.
You've got to sell
an awful lot of jam absolutely.
Before I even start making any money. Yeah. So yeah. I've kept it quite small and local.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So I do lots of village fetes. I do various bits and pieces like that.
Mm.
Just sell it locally.
Sell it locally, basically. And then people come to my house and purchase
it. No, absolutely.
As well.
No, that's perfect.
I feel like I'm missing out, Paul, because I don't live near Swanley, and that's some really nice stuff.
We can hire a lorry.
Couldn't we?
Hire a lorry and drive up there.
And bring it all back.
Yeah.
So you've got Aga classes.
Mm-hmm.
You're making chutney,
yes.
Jams, yes. And pickles.
Yes.
You've got the website. You're a very busy lady. She is an overachiever, isn't she?
Absolutely, yeah.
And again, if anybody wants to try and find out, they need to go on shaniskitchen.co.uk.
But you see, I think this is brilliant. And it's one of those things. We live in a highly technical world now and in a very connected world. But it's just so lovely that we've suddenly... seem to rediscover growing things and making things for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And people are getting absolutely fed up eating processed food and eating prepackaged chemicals,
yes.
And horse meat and all kinds of other things that you don't know about. And people have had enough of it now. And because we can talk to each other, you know, as Sian said, she's on Facebook and all the rest of it, we can find, you know, years ago when it used to happen, you would never have met Sian in Swanley. Because it was a million miles from where we are down here in Ashford, yeah. But now you can.
The internet's changed everything in for small producers, and gives you a sort of level playing field in which to sell stuff.
Mm.
I've really enjoyed today. It was really interesting talking to Geeta Nosh Detox.
Absolutely.
I
am going to try her suggestions. Yeah. I am going to try it and let you know.
Okay, well, we'll see if you lose any weight off your waist.
Any more weight
yeah. off your waist.
Yeah.
But that was really interesting. And again, on her website, there's interesting information about detoxing.
Mm.
Maybe we do put our bodies under a little bit too much pressure sometimes. But
sure.
We had spaghetti bolognese, my favourite. And I really enjoyed it again this week, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been really good. And it was lovely to hear from Geeta and from Sian. And the lovely things that they're producing and doing. But sadly, we're at the end of another show. We will be back next week, of course.
Of course, and hopefully with more lovely products to try.
Absolutely. This is really good. It's one of the problems with doing a show like this, of course. Well, you do need the diet advice.
You said you're going to invite that Carrington's man back because you've run out of his chilli sauce.
Exactly, yeah. I've run out of Carrington's sauce, yeah. Sorry, Will.
Which I thought was a bit unfair.
Absolutely. Anyway, we will be back with you next week on the Food Talk Show with the lovely Sue Nelson and me, Paul Andrews. But for the moment, thank you for joining us for this week, and we'll see you all again soon.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.